It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. Yes, I am back. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Some of you are happy. Some of you don't give a damn, and that's okay. Hi, JoJo.
What percentage would that be, buddy?
I who knows?
Who does know, man? Welcome back. How was
I'm not a Titans content creator, so.
You were on assignment. How was that?
Oh, it was good. Went to our nation's capital just to make sure everything was good up there. And
Oh, that's nice.
It's good. Yeah, it's fine. A lot of protests in that town.
That's what it's for.
A lot of protests going on in that town, but and some good ice cream spots too. So it was a good trip. I got to see my best friend since the first grade. So
buddies. What does he do up there?
He works for finance. He does finance.
Well, some best friend.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say where. Not that anybody would go look, but. But yeah, no,
I'm looking right now.
I know you are, but yeah, good to be back. And, the Predators don't get the win last night, but it looks like after the action around the league, they are locked into that first wild card spot, and barring any craziness, it looks like they're going to play Vancouver in the first round.
So we don't know.
We don't know for sure, but I would say that's a wise guess.
In the words of the great Jeff Fisher, I don't do hypotheticals.
No, we know that.
Right.
But the draft is I can't believe the draft is almost a week away.
I get physically sick when I hear mock draft. And the Titans last night.
Why does that bother you? I am very curious of why mock drafts bother you.
It's just everybody and their dad does one, and it's just like there's more, I think, better time you could spend somewhere else doing something. And now it was okay when it was like four or five of the big dogs do it, but when you got, you know, your neighbor doing it and the guy next door two houses down, it's just it gets
okay
to the point
so
of like,
so pick the ones that you believe. Like, to me, Mel Kiper, everybody's gonna go to him number one.
Yeah,
as they should. I think Field Yates, since they put him in that role, he's pretty knowledgeable in that stuff, so I'll look at his. Daniel Jeremiah, same way.
Yeah, okay. Those are fine.
You know, like, but if you don't like, if no offense to, I'm just using him as an example. If Nick Frazier does one and you don't want to look at it, then don't look.
I'll
at
look
it.
Anything Nick Frazier does.
My mock draft will not consist of players; it will consist of food. So I'm
I see now. I will look into that one. I'll get that. It's just it's over the top of, you know, all these different things. Go look. It's bottom line. They got number seven. What's going to happen? They can trade out, trade down. I mean, it's okay to do that, but let's just get it going on. Let's just get it here, get it done, and see what happens. And, of course, we'll react, you know, gosh, not only for the few days after, but we'll react to the draft forever. How well they've done, who they've picked. And my favorite part is we go back to, like, the 17 draft. It's like, well, the Titans could have had Mahomes. Hey, you know, they could have had Mahomes. They took Corey. You know, we do this. We play this what-if game on and on forever and for years. My favorite one was like, you know, they could have had Devin Hester instead of Lindell White in 2006. You know, they didn't. And this is how the cards they were dealt with.
Revisionist history.
Yeah, and you go forward and you just like, all right, here's what could have happened. Here's what's going on. But, you know, you're concerned about the now. And I just think the overthinking of what's going on right now, like, well, they're going to move out of 7 back to 13 and then move up to 11 and get a third round. I was like, you know what, just get the 7th pick. What making it so difficult? Just get the guy at 7 and be done.
Joe Alt is going to join TD on his podcast this week. So be sure to check that out. Talking with TD, which will drop on Wednesday. So looking forward to, actually it could be Thursday this week, but, looking forward to having Joe Alt. He's going to get about 10 minutes with Joe Alt. So
nice.
We'll see what he has to say.
Well, that's good.
But yeah. All right. So I agree with everything you just said.
Right.
You know, who's at fault? All of us. I mean, that's the world we live in now, right, where you have 24/7 sports talk radio that, you know, we obviously talk about this stuff 24/7, whether it's us on the local level or ESPN on the national level. And, you know, that's kind of where we get to where, you know, you start overthinking it and like, well, what if they do this? And what if they trade back? Or what if he's not there? Or, I mean, there's all these what if scenarios.
Right.
And, you know, Jeff Fisher did say, I don't like to deal in hypotheticals, but that's the world in which we live.
Do hypotheticals. But you are, I mean, you're correct with this, but it's, you know, it's like when we had Rand Carthon. I mean, do you spend any time, if you're the Titans, anytime evaluating Caleb Williams?
Dude. Look, that's a great question. My answer would be yes, but not a ton of time. Because you never know. Like
that's the thing.
The thing. What if a photo of him in a gas mask comes out 20 minutes before the draft? And
what
all of a sudden,
are you referring to?
Laramie Tunsil. Yeah. Right? Okay. Right. So that's really the, and I know there are other examples. Laramie Tunsil, that situation is the first time that I saw a holy bleep moment happen right before the draft.
Yeah.
And then he sunk like an anchor to the bottom of the ocean.
And look at him now.
But, like, okay, so let's say something comes out about Caleb Williams right before the draft, and all those teams that are quarterback needy are like, maybe we're going to reevaluate here. What's Ryan Tannehill up to? You know, like something like that. And then all of a sudden he's there at 7.
I wouldn't
take him.
Right.
But all of a sudden you got some draft bait or some trade bait that you could, you know, maybe there is a team that's like, no, I'm good. Hey, oh, look, he's there. I'll take, what do you want?
Here's one for you. They get to 7. And everybody's on this J.J. McCarthy, just we love him. And he's sitting there at number 7. You take him through the Titans?
No.
Everybody else raving about
him. Why would I? Look, right now.
Best player on the board?
Right now, based on what I know, why would I take the guy I already have?
Good point.
Because.
What if Drake May falls to 7?
Now, Drake May, I might change. I really might consider that. I like Drake May a lot. And now I think his, not last year, but the year before, was certainly his best year. Mm-hmm. But that one would make me think. I still don't think they would do it because you have a guy right now that you feel pretty good about, and then you're going back to the unknown, you know, if you do that. But I listen to the words of the late, great Floyd Reese, too, that if you could get away with it taking a quarterback every year, then you would do it. Like, it's such an important position.
True.
Now, I don't think getting in the business of taking a quarterback in the top 3 rounds every year is where you want to be. And that if they did that, that would be 3 straight years of a third rounder, or a second rounder, and then a first rounder.
Yeah.
And that could be a problem.
Yeah.
I don't see that scenario playing out. But like, J.J. McCarthy, to me, I think you're drafting Will Levis. And you already have him.
All right. I mean, yeah. The whole thing is like, all right, what's going to happen? It's, as we've talked about, in war, nothing goes according to plan. I would love to be over there that next Thursday and see the different scenarios. Because when it happens, I mean, when those, say there's a trade that happens and somebody moves up to 5 and say if the Titans move back from 7 to 11 and all that, you know, then it's like, all right. Because then you're in the heat of the moment. We can talk about it all day long, but you're in the heat of the moment. And I know there's GMs who make panic picks, who listen to all kind of people in their ear and everything and goes on. I think Treylon Burks was a panic pick, an absolute panic pick by John Robinson. Like, oh, my God, we lost a receiver. We got to get somebody here right now. But I would just – I mean, they've got to have 30 different scenarios of what happens and what goes on. And, you know, will there be a trade out? Who knows? I mean, but now – what I love about this now, Chase, is that it's like Joe Alt. Now it's coming to the point like, well, I mean, he is 6'9". And most 6'9 tackles don't do this. So now we're starting breaking him down. And that's what we always do with a guy. It's like, he's great, but, you know, his kick step or his drop step when he goes back in pass protection, you know, it's not as flush as it should be. I mean, we just do all this nonsense things that go on there. I'm telling you, you 7, you plug a left tackle in, be done with it. And that's it. Everybody else wants these fancy, sexy picks. I just don't get the offensive line. Again, we've talked about this. You don't notice the offensive line until you notice the offensive line.
Yeah.
And usually it's because it's pretty crappy.
Sure.
So get the guy. You got your center. You got your guard. And move on.
Look.
Stop complicating things.
You don't have to sell me anymore. I am of the – unless the only caveat I will say here is if Minnesota or whoever has fallen in love with J.J. McCarthy or one of these other quarterbacks – and they call you with a offer that you can't refuse. They're Don Corleone, and they're calling in with an offer that you just can't say no to, that's going to add more draft picks to this year's draft, then I'm probably going to do that. Otherwise, I'm taking Joe Alt and calling it a night.
Okay, good. I just, you know, you move back to 11, and then all of a sudden at 6, the Giants take Alt, and then at 7 or 8, whatever, the guy from Penn State, Fashanu, is that his name?
Fashanu.
He's gone. And then at 9, Latham from Alabama's gone, and you're like, all right. And then you get stuck with Brock Bowers.
Well, I mean, I'd get stuck with Brock Bowers.
Yeah, did you see that? I think Paul had the tweet. The tight ends taken in the last couple of years in the first round or second round, none of them made Pro Bowls. None of them have been to that level.
Okay, well, none of them are Brock Bowers. I don't know. I'm saying that is based on what I know in college. Now, my biggest concern is, can he stay healthy? But my second is, based on what he did in college, I would say that he's going to be pretty good.
So you're okay at 11 taking Brock Bowers?
If he's the best player available, then yes. If he's not, then no.
Okay. I think you'll take him. Yeah. I think Chase McCabe is in love with Brock Bowers.
I'm not in love with Brock Bowers. I think he's really, really good, and I think he would be a good player. I'm not going to hate it if they take him.
Okay.
But, again, I'm looking at this. So many times GMs get in trouble because they draft sorely on need. You look at your board, and you let the board do the work for you. Whoever's on your board at that pick that is the best player, you take them.
I love you, but I so disagree. And I'll tell you why in a little bit.
All right. Well, tell me why next, Backstreet Boys. Tell me why coming up next. We're up and running here on a Tuesday. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show. Coming up, Skillsy, Hal Gill going to join us at 9:30, and Jonathan Hutton at 10 o'clock. So hit a lot of hockey, a lot of football today. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai, here on 1025, 106.3 The Game. I am back in a New York group, Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Our show is brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Hope you're having a good start to your Tuesday. Okay, so I said that I'm going to trust my board in the draft to whatever player, let's say I'm picking. I've moved back to 11, and I'm going to go on my board. And I said that I'm not going to draft solely on need, that I'm going to listen to the board, and I'm going to take the best player available. You disagree with that.
So you get to your 11th pick, and the best player on your board, I mean, far and away anybody else, in 2024, the best player on your board is a center. What do you do?
I probably try and trade back.
Okay.
At that point, you got the center.
But you're not listening to your board.
No, you are listening to the board.
You're not taking your best player.
The board is telling you
to take the center.
The board's telling you that the center is there and that's the best player available. You realize you don't need that. Again, I said you're not drafting solely on need. I'm not saying you ignore it.
You just said you listen to the board. I can have the court reporter read it back.
I know what I said. I said you listen to the board.
Do you have that drop ready?
Is the board not telling you to trade back at that point because you have the center? If this is a center you really, really like and think you can develop, then you do it.
I just think anything can happen. I just think you just – nothing is set in stone. And so at 11, if you're like, oh, a center, but I've already got Cushenberry, and so I don't need this. So I don't think we have to, like, solely rely on one certain thing that goes on. And I also want to know, sometimes GMs draft on a hunch. I mean, that could burn you, or that could just embolden you. Either way, you go for that. And so I would not – people, you know, these mock drafts are fun or whatever because there's no recourse. There's no repercussions. But if you're Rand Carthon, you're sitting there on Thursday night and the clock's ticking and you're like, all right, the Vikings just called me. Oh, my God. Another team just called me, and you're trying to figure out what – I mean, there's a lot to go on. I would be stressed out trying to figure out what goes on. But, again, that's why you've got to hire people around you that you trust so much and so well, and you value so much at a high level that it'll all work itself out. But I think they're going to complicate it if – I mean, Harbaugh's thrown a wrench in all this with the McCarthy stuff, right? He's done all that. I mean, he's just
– sure. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he does. And they've got no receivers, but why not he take a receiver or a Joe Aud at five? Or we just don't know. To me, that's the wild card in all this. Then secondary to that is a draft. Do the Vikings move up? Is there another team that moves up to try to get there? I don't know. That's why Thursday, I'm looking forward to this Thursday, the first round, to see, all right, it's going to be chaotic, and we're here for all of it.
So here's it with the, you know, you talk about mock drafts. So Kuiper and Field Yates, they did a joint three-round mock draft.
Okay.
And they have trades. Because, see, that's the other new thing, too. Used to be it was just straight picks and whatever. Now they're putting trades in and all that stuff. So your first three are chalk. Caleb Williams to Chicago, Jaden Daniels to Washington, Drake May to New England.
Okay.
All right. First receiver off the board at four, Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to Arizona. All right. That feels pretty safe.
Sure.
To me. Here's where things get interesting. The Chargers are sitting at five. They're projecting that they trade with Minnesota. Vikings get pick number five. The Chargers get number 11 and 23, plus a first rounder in 2025.
Wow.
That's the price I think you got to pay to move up.
Okay.
Vikings take J.J. McCarthy. All right.
Okay.
Four quarterbacks off the board. Giants come in at six. They got Malik Nabers going there. That probably feels right. They've had success in the past with some LSU wide receivers.
Nabers and Jalen Hyatt up there.
Yep. Oof. Titans now sit there at seven. So Joe Alt's available, according to them, and Roma Dunze is available. Dallas Turner is available. They have the Titans selecting Joe Alt.
Yeah, all right.
To me, I mean, and look, I think if all that plays out, you still take Joe Alt.
But it's not sexy enough.
I don't care about that.
Yeah, I love it. I would be so happy that you take it. You plug him in. There's your left tackle. You got your guard. That left side of the Titans offensive line, solid for years. Fingers crossed. But the potential is there to be solid for years.
Yeah. There have been scenarios that I've really liked where – they do move back and they trade with Minnesota and they get 23. I think they'd probably have to give up 38 to do that. I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, maybe if I'm Rand Carthon, I look at Minnesota and go, how desperate are you?
Who do they have the Falcons at eight taken?
Dallas Turner, edge rusher out of Alabama. Chicago also picks at nine, Roma Dunze. So they get their quarterback. I mean, if they did that, that receiving core is loaded.
Yep, it is.
DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, and who else did they just get? Chicago?
Don't they have DJ Moore from the Panthers? Yeah, they last year.
They have DJ Moore, but they just got another receiver too. I'd have to look it up.
That's okay. And then finally, 9 and 10 or 10 is who again?
10 would be the Jets. They take
Keenan Allen.
Keenan, thank you. They take Troy Fatanu, the tackle and guard out of Washington.
Where does Bowers fall? Now, I'll listen to these guys. I mean, I think Kuiper's fantastic. Where do they have Brock Bowers going?
Well, let me give you 11 because he's right after. Chargers take Latham.
Okay.
And then Denver takes Brock Bowers.
Okay. All right.
Still don't have a quarterback. But Raiders go Quinyon Mitchell, the corner out of Toledo. Fashanu goes at 14 to the Saints. Colts take Terrion Arnold, the corner out of Alabama. Now, that would be somebody I don't want to see twice a year
as
the Titans, but, I mean, that's a good pick on them. The other receiver out of LSU, Brian Thomas, goes to Jacksonville at 17. Miss Byron Murphy goes to Seattle at 16. Bengals take the tackle from Oregon State, Fuaga. Latu, the linebacker from UCLA, stays in LA, goes to the Rams.
Nice.
Pittsburgh goes with the center from Duke, Graham Barton.
Oh, he's from here.
Is he from here?
He went to NBA. Or Ravenwood. No, Ravenwood. I'm sorry, Ravenwood.
Jared Verse to Miami. Amarius Mims to Philly. Chargers also get 23. That's where Xavier Worthy goes. So the Chargers get offensive tackle help and a receiver.
All right, scoot me to the second round or 38. Who do they have the Titans picking there at 38?
Let me make sure there's no any big names. Mitchell, the receiver out of Texas, goes to Buffalo, according to this. Kool-Aid McKinstry to Baltimore. Xavier Leggett, the guy I really like out of South Carolina, the last pick in the first round, to Kansas City. Round two. Here's an interesting one for you. The first pick, you know, Carolina has the first pick in round two.
Okay.
They trade that to the Rams. Rams, or the Panthers, get number 52 and 83 plus a third round pick in 2025. Kiper and Yates have the Rams selecting quarterback Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. So, according to them, 2 years in a row, we're going to have a team trade up to the first pick in the second round and take a quarterback.
Okay. All right. He fits in with what McVay does.
Yep.
Pocket passer.
You're asking about the Titans. We have a trade. We have a trade to announce. Mel and, let's see, Yates says, all right, Mel, my turn to propose a deal. The Giants get number 38 and 146. The Titans get number 47 and 70. The Giants then take, with the 38th pick in the NFL draft, quarterback Bo Nix from Oregon. So six quarterbacks off the board in the first 38 picks.
Not bad.
So let's go down to 47. The Titans select Adisa Isaac, edge rusher from Penn State. So there's the edge.
Okay.
I don't know much about him. He had
I know guys. You're good Penn State guys. Yeah,
he had 7.5 sacks last year. So they say Isaac is a really good player.
All right. So you've plugged in your left tackle.
You plugged in an edge rusher.
You got an edge rusher. And then you just kind of build. Then you got to get it at 70. Do they have enough to go back to 70? Yeah. For first three rounds, right?
Yeah.
So 70 would be. You got me a left tackle, you got me an edge rusher, and you got me, hopefully this will be an inside linebacker.
Good call. Junior Colson, linebacker out of Michigan.
Out of?
Michigan.
Ravenwood High School.
Oh, he went to Ravenwood High School?
He sure did.
Wow.
There you go. So you've got, so you have done a great job of filling three needs. Problem is, these edge rushers, when they hit the NFL, it takes a while to get them. Remember Rashad Weaver? This guy was great at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Comes in. Is he still on the team?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, he's done nothing. So you hope they come in and hopefully you hit on those ones.
Look,
like
if they end up, well, Joe's the one that hates. 9192 says, I know how you hate mock drafts, but you're reading one off. He's the one that hates mock drafts.
I do hate mock drafts. Yeah. But I don't mind this one.
Yeah. If that ends up being their draft, yeah. The first three rounds, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I don't hate it at
you,
all.
If you've hit three needs on your football team right now, and Junior Colson's a damn good linebacker.
Yep.
But don't draft him because he went to Ravenwood High School. I like that because you didn't even know. So that's fine. So you're drafting a guy on his talent because don't get this all, we got to sell tickets because, you know, there's some owner around the league is telling his GM, hey, we got to get tickets.
Yeah. Coming up next, we'll shift gears. We'll get into the Predators. They wrapped up their regular season last night, and one guy set a record. We'll talk to Hal Gill, get his thoughts on that here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
On the call tonight, the voice of the Predators, Michael P. Peter Weber.
Yep, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And who else is here?
Harold Priestley Gill.
Oh, yeah. We're fired up here, man. We're ready to go, Preds and Pens. Let's do this.
I'm going to throw a chair off the roof of the building.
Yeah. I'm feeling it now. Oh, yeah.
That person is not only going to win world titles, but he's going to have record-breaking ratings. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's very, very well done, Dr. Crane. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The Predators come up short last night, but the regular season has come to an end, and the playoffs are looming for the team in gold. Hal Gill joins us now. Hal, that was a pretty awesome intro there.
Thanks. I shouldn't have had Slim Jims in the press box. It got me going.
Hey,
you know what's funny? You know what's funny is you just said that, and the season's over. It's like you're so jacked up for the playoff race, like the playoff race and everything that's going on. And then the second it's like, okay, I don't know if this game matters that much. It's like, okay, can we just get to the postseason? Can we just fast track? I feel like I'm happy that we're at the point where the next game is going to be all-in playoff game.
I'll say it mattered to Pittsburgh because, I mean, the way they played sure last did. Night, you could – I mean, I was listening to you guys when I was sitting in the airport flying back from D.C. and just the desperation that Pittsburgh was playing with, you certainly could feel it last night.
Yeah, Crosby has put that team on his back, and he's doing everything. Yeah, like, he just, you know, it's next-level performance from him, and I feel like he's doing it night in, night out. I'm not sure if it'll be enough, but the first period, they just outmatched anything. And I don't think it's really fair to say, how can you match someone who's got their backs against the wall like Pittsburgh does with their last gasp of breath? It's hard to match that intensity, but, Pitt certainly brought it.
Well, everybody's excited, though, for Jeremy Lozon as he hit number 383 last night. He breaks the league single-season record, which was by Matt Martin in 2014-15. He's such a good dude. Like, he's one of those guys you really love being around, but then you watch him play on the ice, and it's like he's a completely different person. But how special is it for a Predator to hold that record and especially for it to be Jeremy Lozon?
Yeah, and you know what? It's hard. As a defenseman, it's really hard to amount that many hits. As a forward, you can just go in and crash and bang, and you don't have that defensive responsibility. But Lozy was – I was really impressed at the way – not just the way he finishes checks, but the way he does it and the consistency he had throughout the season. You know, he really didn't take himself out of the way. I will say the last hit that he got – there's a guy going in the corner and they're both racing for the puck, and you could see Jeremy just backed off, let him go to get the puck and then finished his check. He was just waiting for him to go ahead and get anywhere near that, because I want to finish you off. And doing that, he made a great play. He finished him off, took the puck and went the other way. And so I've just been real impressed with the development of his game, not just hitting. I mean, the hitting is a huge part of it, but he's playing the right way, and it's fun to watch. As a defenseman, as a purist, he just plays the right way.
We're talking to the fantastic, and as Chase refers to, the most handsome Hal Gill this morning in the Chase and Big Joe Show. And Hal, I was listening to the game last night, you and Pete, and I sensed a little just a disappointment on your end, the way the Preds kind of came out in the first period last night.
Yeah, it was sloppy. I saw Barry Trotz, you know, walking upstairs, and you know, I was expecting to see a pouty face, but he kind of had that looks like an. I think he said that looks like game number 82. You know, I think that it was, I just think it's hard to expect a buckle down, all out effort on a game like that. I think it's, once you clinch a playoff spot, it's so hard to get to the playoffs. I just think there's a letdown. And I will say the first period, as bad as the first period was, I thought the response was encouraging. You know, I think they said, okay, like, guys, we're not going out like this. We're going to have 6 or 7 days to think about this. So, you know, let's put it together for a couple periods. And then they played hard, battled, competed. Yeah, didn't get the win, but I think, you know, going into this little break before you get a playoff game, I think you need to have that to rely on. Like, hey, we competed and we battled together.
Al, you played a long time in this league. You played in the playoffs, Stanley Cup teams, all that. Do you really care when you were playing who you're going to play in the first round? I mean, you're in the playoffs, but did you care who you're playing?
Yeah, no, it was funny. I was talking to Bruno about it, trying to pick his brain, and he doesn't want to say anything. I kind of felt his sentiment when he said, I've been on teams where you wish you were going to play against someone and you think you had them, and then you get swept by them. And I've been on teams where you say, oh, God, this is going to be tough. I'm not sure we're ready to play this team. And you go out and you beat them. And so I think, you know, in the end, you really can't predict who you're going to play for. Like, you can go out there and try to lose a game so that you get the matchup you want, but then I don't know if there's a lot of grace in going out to lose to get who you want. I just think you're gambling at that point. So I never really looked at it. Each I will say each one has different, you know, different strategies and different weaknesses that you and strengths that you have to be ready for. You know, I think if you're going to go up against Edmonton, you better be ready for the McDavid-Dreisaitl show. If you're going to play against Vancouver, you better be aware of, Pettersson is a different player than McDavid, and Quinn Hughes is going to push from the backhand different than Edmonton would do. So there's different strategies. You just have to be ready for either one.
You know, all that can just drive you crazy. You know, the last 2 months, the Preds have probably felt like, and you've been with them on this ride, like they've been on the Autobahn going 150 miles per hour. Now they got a few days. Is it okay for Brunette to say, all right, guys, I don't want to see you for 48 hours. Go be with your family, be away. Is that healthy? Is that good for the team?
I think that would be, yeah. I do think there's times, it's funny. My coach in Montreal, Jacques Martin, said, playoffs are a balance of being completely intense and focused and then completely shutting off. You know, you need to have that balance. If you want to make a long playoff run and you're high strung and intense the whole time, it just, you can't sustain it. You have to have that downtime. And I think right now you got to get in playoff mode where you shut down, you're totally not involved. You get away from the rink and you know, whether it's 24 hours or 48 hours, you need to turn your brain off. You need to turn your body off and just go back to being a human instead of this beast that's going out trying to, with the intensity of a battle every time you're out there. You kind of have to balance that. And so I think getting time off, but and then when you're back, dial back in. And that's the trick. I think that's what a lot of young players have a hard time with is, can I take some time off and then come back ready to go? And so I think when they do practice, it should be hard. It should be involved. It should be focused with a purpose. But when they're away from the rink, get away, shut it down.
We're talking to Hal Gill, Predators analyst, and all indications are they're going to play Vancouver in the first round. And, you know, some people that I've talked to are like, oh, man, you know, I don't know if I like that matchup. I do, and it's for a very, very big reason. The experience that the Predators have. Forsberg and Josi, they've played in a cup final. They've been through the battles of the playoffs. Obviously, we know about the serial winners that Barry Trotz brought in this year. O'Reilly, McDonough, Shen, they've all won Stanley Cups. So I feel really good about the experience that the Predators have going into this matchup against a really young Vancouver team.
Yeah, I would go with that. I think there's, with each team and each hockey market, you have different levels of, you know, like, is the building going to be crazy? Is it going to be nuts around the city? You know, if you play in Canada, you know, and you're a young kid and you feel that stress, you know, like, I think that's going to be a challenge for Vancouver is some of those guys are, you know, everywhere you go in Canada anyway, you get harassed. When it's playoff time, it amps up. I mean, it's a lot. And so I think there's a lot of different factors. I think either matchup I'm looking at, I think the Preds should feel confident about it because I think they're one of the best teams going down the stretch. And, you know, I don't think, you know, the Vancouver, it's hard to sustain the pace they were on, but they tailed off a little bit. I think you're going to have a team that's overly confident. If you play Dallas, they're going to be feeling pretty good about themselves. I don't know. There's so many different ways I could go with it. But for me, you know, I think Vancouver is, you know, the one that I would want the Preds to go up against. I think that's a good matchup. And one of the reasons is what you just said.
Philip Forsberg had a career year, 94 points, 48 goals. But the big thing that really stood out to me, Hal, is he did it by playing 82 games, something he hasn't done since the 16-17 season. How big is that for his confidence that he went through a full 82-game season?
No practice, too, at the end,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's going with the no practice. You know what? I just think I'm having a lot of fun watching the way him play and the way he's developed his game because – you know, I've said it for a while. Even when he was a kid, I remember him coming on the ice and going, whoa, he's just a kid. I mean, 19 years old, right? He's young. He was and skinny. And I was like, wow, he's good on his edges. You know, you could tell right away he could lean on you and he could push with his edges. and he was strong on his skates. And then, you know, you come back, fast forward to now, and he's big, he's strong, and he's awesome on his edges. And so I always wanted him to get to the interior, and I feel like he's done that. And the fact that he's done that for 82 games, you know, because it is more challenging when you go grind in the corners and you go to the net and you take the hits and the punishment in and around the net. It can wear and tear on you. And I think it says a lot about the way he's kind of matured as an athlete, taking care of himself as a professional. I just feel like his game has grown so much because of that ability to get to the net. And so now I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, playoff Phil, you know, like where he's bringing that game to the playoffs, because that's when it really matters.
Yep, 100%. Skillsy, appreciate it as always, and we'll see the matchup when it becomes official and the times and all that, but looking forward to some playoff hockey coming up in about a week or so.
Yeah, whoever it is, we'll take it. This is the best time of the year, so enjoy it, guys.
There you Absolutely. Go. Thanks, Skillsy. Hal Gill joining us, brought to you by Duncan here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Always appreciate them being a part of things. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about this potential matchup coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Tuesday. Making sure I got my days right. So the Predators wrap up their regular season with a 4-2 loss to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a team that they're desperate. They're trying to get into the playoffs in the East. They're 1 point back of Washington and Detroit with 89 points. There's a two-way tie right now for that second wild card spot. And all three of those teams with 81 games played. So still some games to go, even though the Predator season has come to an end, regular season. There's still some other teams that have one more game to play. Looking at the West, Winnipeg, Vancouver, and Edmonton have two more games left on their schedules. But Dallas has one more. Colorado has one more. Dallas has that number one seed locked up, it looks like, with 111 points. Vancouver sitting there at 107, top of the Pacific. That is likely who the Predators are going to play. The Preds have 99 points. The Kings have one more game. The best they can do is 99 points. And they're currently sitting in that third spot in the Pacific, but they can't. The Predators own the tiebreaker against them, and so they can't get that first wild card spot. Vegas at 96 points, so the best they can do, I guess they could actually pass the Predators, but if they win these next two games, but they could get into that third spot in the Pacific. There's a lot of what ifs. There are so many, but everything indicates the Predators will be that first wild card spot.
Okay, my head just hurts trying to say they're going here. It's like that Julie Roberts meme.
Vegas. See, the good thing is Vegas could have one more point than the Predators, but that would put them one more point ahead of LA, which would put them in the third spot in the Pacific. You get it?
All
now?
I know is like Hal Gill just said the Preds are in.
Yes.
They'll roll when they need to roll and go out there and play their tails off.
Yeah.
That's all we need to know
exactly
what's going on.
So that is the likely matchup. And, again, I just said it to Hal. I think Vancouver's a very, very good team. Rick Tocchet's probably going to be the coach of the year. Andrew Rennett's probably going to be second. And so it would be a really good coaching matchup. I think that Vancouver's a team that's probably going to – compete and maybe win the Stanley Cup in the next few years. But how many times have we seen a situation where a young, really, really talented team has to learn how to win in the playoffs?
Yeah, right.
And like they're going in with not a lot of experience in that department. The Predators have a ton of experience in that department. I think that matters. Even though you might look on paper and say, Vancouver's a better team, you know, matchup-wise, the experience, I think, counts for something.
I absolutely agree. You know, and that's how you get experience, by getting to the playoffs and getting there. And that's the thing. You know, I think we took Predators getting to the playoffs. I think we took it for granted until they don't make it last year. It's like, damn, we like what's going on. And now I think you realize how important, how fun, how great it is for the city. I'm just talking not the hockey team, but just for all the Preds fans. Yeah. And now it's like, all right, we're back now. We realize how it sucked being away from it, and now we're back in and doing it. And, you know, I'm looking, Buffalo fired their head coach, their assistant coach, and their video coordinator, which made me laugh.
They've had like 18 head coaches in the last 5 years.
They've had six coaches since 2015.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something crazy. And I did not know this. The Buffalo Sabres playoff drought, and, you know, that's what I'm saying, when the Preds, we kind of took it for granted, is tied with another professional team in four major professional sports who have not made the playoffs. I did not know this. Who has tied the Sabres? It's a pro football team.
That hasn't made the playoffs?
Since 2000 and I think 9 or 10.
That's a good question.
I see right here. Every team in the NFL has made the playoffs except this team in the last, I think it's 2010 or 2009. It doesn't say, but it goes back to 09 or 10.
Let me think. Cleveland?
No, sir. The Cleveland went to the playoffs this past year.
And they sure did, didn't they? Yeah, with Flacco.
The Jets?
What'd you say?
The Jets.
Dr. Crane, nice. Coming in. The New York Jets have tied the Buffalo Sabres with the longest active drought in North America's four major professional sports.
It's impressive.
I mean, it takes some talent. It's like I hit on a parlay one time. I had 14 games. I went 0 for 14. I should get a little something for that, right? I had something when I gambled. So now it takes effort not to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
It really does. A butt fumble included.
Butt fumble included. You're right.
Wow. That's interesting. So Rex Ryan was the last time?
That's right. He was.
Nashville Predators season ticket holder.
I have this list. We're going to get in the 10 o'clock hour. Every team's most devastating moment since 2010. I mean, it's a pretty funny, interesting list. We'll read it later on. But
yeah.
I'll tease the Jets. Their most devastating moment since 2010, Aaron Rodgers' torn Achilles.
It has to be. He was in for four plays. Real quick on something that you just said about the playoffs and taking it for granted.
Yeah.
I definitely think that was true for the fan base, but I wonder if there was a little bit, and I say this in a, you know, the best way I can, that if there was a little bit of complacency there, you know, even with some of the guys that are still here, of like you get used to it after a while and you think like, hey, you know what, we're good enough that we're just going to go back every year. It's kind of like when the Titans first got here and they went to the Super Bowl the first year, they were the Titans. Everybody thought like, nah, we'll be back next
year.
That's
easy to get in the Super Bowl. They do it. That's right. A good point. That's a great point.
I think it was humbling. You know, even after the tremendous run they went on last year, after they made all the trades and they announced that Trotz was coming back as the GM and Poyle was going to retire, everybody was wondering, okay, what does that mean for Hines? Is he a lame duck? Is he coming back? All that stuff. They still miss the playoffs. And I think that was a humbling experience. And, you know, we've talked so much about Philip Forsberg and Roman Josi, but Forsberg especially. Every time I had any type of interaction with him this year, whether it was on the phone or in person,
yeah,
I could tell that dude had a chip on his shoulder. And that was a good thing. Like, in a really good way. Like, hey, you know what? I know that I have another level. I'm going to get there, and I'm going to lead this team to getting back to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And he did that. And it wasn't just him, obviously, but he's been the X factor, and he has to continue to be. And like Hal Gill just said, I can't wait to watch him in the playoffs and see what playoff Phil can be.
I totally agree, and that's the thing. We talk about pride. At some point, pride kicks in. I think last year, but like, oh, we get to the playoffs. It hits January. Like, oh, wait, we got to fight now. And I think this year was the same thing. They get to February and like, oh, well, I mean, we're supposed to get to the playoffs. We believe in ourselves. And they went on that absolute tear, and now they're in the playoffs. So, again, it's one of those things like you miss it. You don't appreciate it until you miss it.
Yep.
And then once it's gone, like, man, this isn't good.
What's the line from the song, "You don't know what you got till it's gone"?
Is that Cinderella?
Yeah. I think that is Cinderella, yeah.
I'm trying to sing how Tom Kiefer sings it. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Jonathan Hutton from OutKick going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the upcoming draft and the Titans, all those things. In hour number two, it's Chase and Big Joe here on this Tuesday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.